Well, I guess you are ready for more Dr. Bell, because you obviously are listening, and that's a sad story. That's really sad. You're actually listening for another show. This, of course, is show 10. And I forgot to talk about the music last week, and it's the same intro this week, same music. That's Neptune's Whales and Dolphins, recorded off Atlantis Rising. That's the second track on there. And that was inspired by the time that I actually met King Neptune. And that's another story which we'll get into, but it is covered in Rays of Truth, the actual story how myself and part of my family got to meet the King Neptune down at the shores of Laguna Beach after I petted two 40-foot gray whales one evening, which was quite an experience. And so that's from Atlantis Rising, and those sounds you heard on there are real whales, and those are real dolphins. Those are the real thing, recorded on a sampler and then superimposed into my music, and I do a lot of that superimposition to bring across the consciousness. Well, today's show, if you can stand it, which I think you'll enjoy it, maybe not, I don't know, will be more about the nuclear receptor. We're going to talk more about the metals, the aura, and the higher effects and the long-term effects. Last week we talked about the basics. Last week we covered the basic minerals, trace minerals. We talked about firing synapses in the brain and how that was enhanced. We talked about the constitution of the bridge. We talked a little bit about the way the receptor works. We talked about the inverted pyramids and the construction of a scalar wave and moving out into the aura. So today we're going to actually pick up at the aura frequencies and how it strikes the aura and how it affects it. And for those of you that have the Rays of Truth book, because I remember I mentioned we're going to start using that more and more, you're going to want to have page 141 available, which relates to some very nice drawings about the atmospheres around the Earth. We're going to want to have page 67 available, which talks the hormone chart and the nuclear receptor. And most importantly, you're going to need page 111, which is the electrical precursing energy chart. And those of you that don't have a book yet, we'll try to describe to you what the pictures are all about, so that when you finally do get a book, you can go back and do your homework. This is a health, science, and energy show. Therefore, there is some work and feedback required. This is not a sit back and coast and enjoy it kind of show. If you get that out of it, that's fine, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to enlighten you and to educate you so that you can help yourself and others. So those are the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about today. I've gotten a few more questions and about all kinds of different subjects, but right now we're sticking to the subject of the nuclear receptor. Now we'll basically do a little review here on the page 67 chart. That in the Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light book, it's called the Pyridine DNA and Hormone Chart. And here we need to emphasize a few things. First of all, looking at the path of biochemistry in the body, it starts out, and I'll just describe this for those of you who don't have the book yet. It's we have oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon are the four basic atoms to form the human body. In our previous discussions, we have found that all of the nuclear receptors work with the hydrogen atom, and some of the more precious metal ones work with the hydrogen and carbon atom. The reason that the importance of the working with the carbon atom is it maintains an integrity to keep the geometry correct of all of the other three atoms. Geometry is a very important thing in the human body. For example, if the red blood cell, which has four iron atoms forming two alpha and two beta chains, if the core of the iron itself was not shaped in an octahedral, or a pyramid right side up and a pyramid right side down shape, similar to the way diamonds are actually formed in the ground, if that shape is not coherent, it starts to lose depending on the proportion of the incoherency, or in other words, let's say it's 3% distorted, it will then thereby affect the delivery of oxygen to the bloodstream and the removal of carbon dioxide from the bloodstream, which is very, very important. So if there's a 10% distortion on the shape of the iron atom in the body, then there'll be a 90% efficiency. If there's a 40% distortion, there will be a 60% efficiency. If there's a 50%, there will be a 50% efficiency, and so on. So what causes these shape changes, these geometric shape changes? What causes that are negative electrical precursing energies. And these are stress, being tired, for example, crowd noise, job stress, air pollution, smog, lack of negative ionization, meaning the air might be clean, but there's no negative ions like out in the desert, which would have positive ions, very few negative ions per cubic centimeter. All of these things, and we measure the effectiveness of the and efficiency of the human body over a 24-hour time period. Then we look at a history of the measurement as how many 24-hour time periods, whether it be seven of them consisting of a week, 52-week consistencies, or a decade, or a millennium, or whatever, you know, a century. We have ways of looking at these different measurements over time. So what we're saying is then if we're looking at the red blood cell, and it's gradually, in the aging process is another electrical precursing factor that has to be brought in, the aging process itself. Remember, after the age of 30, all of the vital organs in the body decrease at the rate of 10%, or I'm sorry, 5% every 10 years. So what happens is between the age of 30 and the age of 50, you now have a 20% organ decrease in size, meaning your liver is 20% smaller, your heart is not as great as it was, your kidneys are shrunk, and to get up until 70 or 80, it's quite a bit of shrinkage. So what we try to do is to go directly to the DNA and say, stop this shrinkage, stop this. We've got to stop that. So the only way we can do that is to maintain the integrity of the carbon atom. In our little test that we were talking about last week, where we would put glue up to the nose, and somebody would breathe glue and be muscle tested and find that they test weak by, say, pushing their arm down or using a meridian test or whatever you're doing, they would test weak. And then when they put the receptor on them, they could still breathe the glue, and now they test strong, even though they're breathing the glue. As a matter of fact, most people will test stronger breathing the glue than they did normally with no receptor, no glue. So that's pretty interesting that the receptor plus glue makes you stronger than you normally are. That'll tell you something. That tells you something that the electrical forces in the body can be manipulated by an intelligence or a precursing energy. So this is very important to understand this electrical precursing energy, how it works. Then we go from directly from the atomic structure, and the chart shows this quite clearly on page 67, we go into RNA, DNA, deribonucleic acid, and ribonucleic acid. What's the difference? DNA is the intelligence, and RNA is the carrier. Now, let's look at that for a second. When you are first born, when you have your first arrival here on Earth, and you come out of the womb of the mother, you have 46 base pairs per turn. Just before you came out, before you took your birth on this world or entered into this world, you would have had something less than 46 base pairs per turn. The moment that the chromosomes reach 46 base pairs per turn, and there's 46 chromosomes present, the mother receives a signal to pass the child into the world. And that is considered 100% longevity the moment you go into this world. You are at 100%. You're at maximum charge. As soon as the umbilical cord is disconnected or cut, immediately the base pairs per turn is 34. So if 48 base pairs or 46 base pairs per turn is 100%, 34 base pairs per turn is something less than 100%, approximately 25% less. So theoretically, in the first couple of seconds that you've arrived after you've arrived from the Earth, coming out of the mother's womb, within a few minutes, you have lost 25% of your lifespan. Why? People say, why would you lose it so fast? Because the infant is a very high frequency being. The infant has a very highly attuned immune system that has not yet experienced and tasted the viruses and germs of this world. Therefore, it has no immunity, very little immunity, only genetic immunity at this point, not stationed by fact immunity, which you get when you, each time you get a cold virus or a sick, your body will probably, if it's healthy, react less next time that same virus comes around. But of course, a new one comes around, has to learn that one, and it gets sick, you know, like cures like you in homeopathic medicine, but that's how the body works. And you have to get sick for a while in order to get well. But baby's had none of this. So she's relying, she or he is relying on the natural immunity of the mother's genetic code and the father's genetic code as a stage to enact the play of all the different viruses and germs. So the baby's very sensitive. So the baby loses 25% of its lifespan. Boom. Nothing you can do about it. Unless you change the electromagnetic force, the auric force of the earth, the energy of the earth. All of these kinds of things would have to be changed. And then with all of these kinds of things changed, the baby might have a better chance. Obviously, in the Pleiades and some of the other places that we talk about, there is a more comfortable world. There is less conflict and dharmic circumstance in the world. So therefore, the longevity pattern of the child coming out of that mother is going to be longer. And that used to be a fact here. But because of scalar wave warfare that we had in Atlantis in 12,479 B.C., 495 B.C., which leveled the continent of Atlantis and half the other places in the world, leaving us what we call a big hole in space and time, which is now called the Bermuda Triangle, which there's three of them if you do a geometric progression on the three equidistant points of the Earth at that same latitude and longitude, you will find, or actually longitude, you will find that you, there are two other Bermuda Triangles. One of them's located in the Philippines. So these things have to be changed. Well, how are they going to be changed? Well, our society is probably less technologically advanced than the last one at Atlantean times. And unless we can pretty much put a receptor around the neck of the Earth, it's going to be a long time in coming before we have an environment whereby our DNA code is such that we don't lose 25% of our lifespan at birth. Then when you go on to 18 years old, the base pairs per turn is 18. I call it the 18-18 rule. So if you look at the percentage of 18 base pairs per turn versus 46 base pairs per turn, the individual has lost two-thirds of its lifespan on its 18th birthday. And if you look at the health of the skin of a teenager, it's still pretty good next to an older adult. But if you look at the health and skin of a teenager versus a baby, the teenager looks pretty bad, pretty beat up, especially at 18 years old. Even though that's a pretty good-looking guy or gal, it's still, when you compare it next to a baby, the baby is just, you know, two-thirds better-looking and better condition than the 18-year-old. And this goes on up until the next big drop, what I call a big drop, is around age 50 if you don't do something with yourself. Age 50, you have 6 base pairs per turn, and now you're pretty much in the grave, genetically speaking anyway. So now the next thing we look at is, well, what about, I've seen 50-year-olds that look like they're 20, and I've seen 50-year-olds that look like they're 95. Why do some people age tremendously at that age, and some people just seem to have worn down fairly nicely and seem like they've got a long ways to go? This now has to do with what the person has put or shoveled into their body and their lifestyle. Have they exercised? I mean, have they taken care of themselves? Have they eaten properly? Have they filled themselves up with free radicals and lard and chemicals and all that kind of stuff? Have they been a person that ate preservatives? Or were they someone that observed a lot of the natural laws of the body? You'll find that most people that maintain themselves and look fairly well at 50 have done something to preserve themselves, probably eaten properly most of the time and exercised somewhat. So there's a big difference when you start looking at all this stuff as to how a person's going to look and behave. So now, if you take and bring the nuclear receptor into the mix, the nuclear receptor wasn't around a decade, been 5 decades ago or 10 decades ago. And the nuclear receptor, because of the way it works, is going to slow down the aging process, pure and simple. It's definitely going to slow down the aging process. So when it slows down the aging process, then what happens is it's going to enhance certain things. There are certain things that are going to be enhanced. And how do we do that? And how do we know where to go? Well, this is where, once again, we're looking at the hydrogen atom and its weakest links. And last week we talked about, we had theoretically muscle tested someone, And we had found that that person is weak in the color green, which is related to the thyroid, which is related to a whole lot of other things. And so because of that, we decided, boom, that we would put an emerald stone in there. But let's say now, let's take it to another step. Let's say we've worn the emerald stone now, not 3 months, which would have completely rejuvenated or sent a higher form of DNA reproduction into the blood system in the body. That's the first thing, by the way, that regardless of what color stone is in the receptor, that happens. When you first wear it for 3 months, the integrity of the red blood cell is greatly enhanced. The degrading aging process has been greatly slowing down. And if you use some other products like this new Life Patch that's out now, LifeWave Patch that we're looking into, which seems to be like a very viable product to go with this. We use human growth hormone, which we've proven to work with the nuclear receptor. So we find there are either other semi-amplifying precursing devices and semi-amplifying chemical things such as human growth hormone that do work with the receptor. Now, we also found out that we talked about a little bit last week, but more this week, we also find that the amino acids lysine and arginine are very important in the anti-aging because they produce vasopressin, which is an attitude. If you have a good attitude adjusting hormone secreted into the bloodstream, then you're going to have a better attitude, period. But realizing that fossil fuel technology is an antagonist, so if you're around carbon monoxide or auto exhaust at any point during the day or week or month, you're going to have an attitude lowering. You're going to have a negative factor thrown at your attitude, and how much, and then by the science of attrition by itself, not nutrition, but attrition, you're going to have to be really fighting to keep a positive attitude. So if you're one of the people that has a positive attitude, but your body has to start fighting to keep it, then somewhere along the way that energy is going to go into depletion, and you're going to have a failure in your organ system or somewhere in your health. Something's going to fail. So the receptor, by being worn for the first 90 days, has increased the integrity now of the red blood cell. And by doing that, by increasing the integrity of the red blood cell, other cells are starting to be affected. Other cells are starting to be affected greatly. Let's say that a person was starting to have a weakening of the kidneys, and sometimes with a weakening of the kidneys, we have a tendency to become diabetic. Okay, so there would therefore would be an effect on the liver and a couple of the other and the adrenals. But let's say the kidneys is the main target. Okay, so this person genetically they are okay, but there's a slight tendency in the family to have a few weakened lower chakra organs. Say starting at age 33 or 34, not to really show up until maybe mid-50s or 60s. That's the tendency of the genetics of that family. Because that person just now put on so at 32 years old, that person put on a emerald receptor and started wearing it. The emerald, which is now where this is the thyroid. Now, emerald's the thyroid. So what happened was that person probably would be getting a balance in the hypothalamus, which would be the head, and a balance between the adrenals, the lower part of the body, the upper and lower would be now balanced. We would be increasing the frequency of that gate, the gating of the thyroid gland would be opening up, and so there would be less resistance between the mind and the body. Okay, that would be the first thing that would happen. This then, at the same time, because the if it's a solid gold pyramid, it's going to even be more, because now we're working on the hydrogen atom and the carbon atom. But even with a regular receptor, without having the benefit of the solid gold, there is a gold plating on it, which does give a pseudo effect, and it does cause the shape or the integrity of the red blood cell to become normal again, especially under stress. So what we've done now is we've identified there's a weakness in the gate between the head and the solar plexus, the top and the bottom of the body. We've opened that. We fixed that weakness. We made the gate a better doorway, and we began to send energy into the body. Over a three-month period, the first part of the body that reproduces the fastest is the red blood cell, so it's going to have the greatest benefit. So now the red blood cell is going to be integrally healed, and rebalanced, then the oxygen capability of the body is going to go up. The carbon monoxide removal delivery system of the body is going to be increased. And so, therefore, other organs are going to start getting more oxygen than normally do. When you track the curve of this increased oxygenization and this increased removal of carbon monoxide, you have now relieved a electrical precursing negative stress from the kidney, from the liver, and the adrenals. So now you will have a much greater tendency not to have diabetes or some older age conditions that were genetically inherent possibly in your system at age 50. So at age 30, you have begun to reverse a problem that would have but has not yet shown up at age 50 or 55. And that's the beginning of how the receptor works. So then what would happen is in the next 3 months, now that the red blood cell is in a much better frequency, other organs, the next fastest rejuvenating organ, of course, besides the skin, is the liver. So the liver is going to start receiving huge benefits in month four. Not that it wasn't receiving great benefits for the first 3 months, but it will receive much greater benefits because the liver relies on the intake of oxygen, the removal of poisons, which the red blood cell or the red blood does. So now the liver has the benefit of the ever-growing, increasing positive electrical precursing frequency and the lubricant and stimulant and life force itself, the blood itself. So the blood is better, and now the liver can be much effectively treated. As soon as the liver starts to come up in frequency and remove toxins, there might be a healing crisis. In the fourth month, there might be a slight healing crisis because now the liver is going to really start discharging toxins. So in other words, you've worn this receptor with emerald on for 3 months, you felt better. In the fourth month, now you feel a little worse. You don't know why. You may not even blame it on the receptor. You might blame it on something else. That's a long-term healing crisis that we're coming into, and there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. That's normal. And what happens is you have to just keep that same stone on it. You keep everything going. You don't change out the emerald at this point until that liver starts to really show signs of recovery. And that's going to take probably another 3 months. So you're looking at a minimum of 6 months before you even consider changing out the stone into something else. So let's say we get out, 7 months out, and now we're past that dump that we took with the liver detoxing. The kidneys are starting to be rejuvenated, and obviously the adrenals are coming into balance. So now we're out 7 months. So with the adrenals coming into balance and these things happening now, what stone are we going to go to next? What's going to be the next weakest organ? You know, I mean, think about what do you think it's going to be? Okay, it's probably going to be a strange one, but a couple of things would come to mind. One, with this increased vitality and this increased emission of toxins, possibly the heart might need strengthening. So it's possible that the heart at this point is now the weaker organ in the body, which is blue. So color would be blue frequency, meaning that the heart has been working very hard. It has not actually received the full benefit of the receptor yet because, number one, it did receive the oxygen benefit after 3 months like the liver did. But now the liver's kicked in and it started discharge because the liver became efficient. It started delivering a discharge of toxins, which actually put a load on the heart. So the heart is getting a positive stimulus from the receptor, but it's getting a negative stimulus from the liver because when the liver starts releasing these toxins, it causes the heart to beat faster because toxicity will do that. It increases the action of the heart, which is a enzyme called actin breaking down, which is brought on by calcium and vitamin D. By the way, the vitamin D and calcium requirements will go up probably in the seventh month considerably when the heart starts to kick in. That's a typical example, and there's others. It could be the person had a perfect liver and the heart was strong, but I've just given one example of one track of energy, how it could go through the body. This is only one example. Don't take this to be Hoyle. It's for all of them. So now the heart needs work. So what we do now is we muscle test, and sure enough, the sapphire shows up. So we pop that emerald out if it's a silver or gold receptor. If it's not, if it's cadmium, then we just change the receptor out. We don't get rid of the green one. We might go back to it at some point. We just put it on the shelf or let somebody else use it, because now we need a sapphire. So now when we wear the sapphire for a period of time, the heart starts to rejuvenate, and that usually takes about a year. The heart's one organ that's going to take about a year to get fixed. And realize now that these organs are actually doing it to themselves. The receptor isn't doing anything other than removing blockages. Don't think that the heart is healing. I mean, the receptor is healing because it is not. It is absolutely not doing anything but opening up blockages that were there and allowing huge amounts of energy, way more than the body's used to, by shielding out a lot of the outside interference, which is called auric offset, which we'll get to in a minute or two. We haven't gotten that far yet. So what happens is now the heart is starting to work. A year goes by. Usually, if the heart becomes more efficient, if you're hypertension, then your blood pressure lowers. If you're hypotension, your blood pressure will raise. And your body will start coming into some kind of a balance so that things are normal. Heart is working good. Year has gone by. Body's starting to detox, probably driven by the actual internal nature to feel good. Your health habits have automatically changed. And I've noticed that people's health habits normally do change when they start feeling better. They start noticing when they do certain things that they did before to feel good. For example, like smoking and things like that, these negative stimulants, the requirements for them aren't there anymore. You can feel better without them, and people subconsciously notice that, and the utilization and the reliance on these negative things goes away. So smoking stops, bad eating habits stop, desire for exercise comes because energy levels are increasing, and it feels really good when you're releasing endorphins through exercise and walking and jumping and skip rope and climbing and all the things that we do, and tennis and golf. All these things are great because they stimulate different muscles. So now, as the vitality is returning back to the body, this muscle stimulation is taking place, it's starting to make a lot more sense. So after the emerald and after the bluestone, the sapphire, then we start to look at the next area. And usually that third stone, which is taking place, that change, usually a year, year and a half out, maybe 2 years out, that third stone is going to be a high-energy stone. Now, sometimes, in rare cases, we stumble across a problem, a genetic problem shows up, and then we have to go back and fix something. And so maybe the immune system, the lymphatic system, it was so toxic early on when your other organs started to work, it didn't quite catch up. So then we might have to drop back the muscle test, and strangely enough, something like an aquamarine shows up. Aquamarine is a very light blue stone which works through the lymphatic and immune system. So that would be a kind of a regressive thing, but not really. It's just one more part of the body that appeared to be functioning but really wasn't. And so now we may have to spend another year with an aquamarine. So now we're out, let's say, two and a half years. By then, the overall frequency characteristics of your body has changed. Your attitude has changed. You understand the receptor by now, probably enough to the point where you might have started out with synthetic gemstones, and now you're using natural ones. Some people notice just a slight color change. For example, across the sapphire will produce a dramatic effect all the way across the blue spectrum in their bodies. And so people get really sensitive to it. Now you've really gotten to notice it, and you might upgrade to another receptor because you want to get more energy out of it and more sensitivity, and et cetera, et cetera. So finally we get to the most powerful ones, and that is the diamond family. Once you reach the diamond family, you're pretty much not going to be changing stones for the rest of your life. That's about where you're going to stay. When I got into the diamond, I was so toxic. I went originally into a champagne-colored diamond. I had heart problems, so I went from an emerald to a sapphire to a champagne diamond. And the champagne diamond, because it's dark in color, helped my digestion. I had digestive problems off and on due to the fact I would temporarily be a vegetarian for a few months, and then I'd be a carnivore for a few months and switch back. And my body didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. Now, today, I'm a truly vegetarian again. But, I mean, there were times in my life when I switched around depending on my environment and who I was dealing with and what was going on. And I just wasn't quite under control yet. So I went to a champagne diamond for about a year and a half, 2 years. So now I'm like, I was 4 or 5 years into it. So finally I realized that diamond wasn't necessary. It got my weight under control. Everything was fine. So that's when I switched over to a white diamond. And that's the crown chakra. And that really made a difference, wearing that diamond. For a long time, I wore the white diamond, maybe 5-6 years more. So now I was 10 years into it. Well, I began to realize that the white diamond was fun, but I wanted something just a little bit different. I wanted a little bit more body. I was a little bit out of my body too much. So that's when I got into the canary diamonds, which were it's a white with a yellow tinge to it. And that's what I wear today. I found the canary diamond worked really well for me, better than the white one. The white one was too stimulating, a little bit too high energy, not enough balance in the body. And for some people, it works really well, and the yellow one doesn't work at all. But I often see people end up, once they've gone through all the stones with yellow sapphires or yellow diamonds, usually yellow diamonds. Women, oftentimes, especially psychic people, have a tendency to prefer a yellow sapphire over a yellow diamond. I don't know why, but it just seems to work for them. And it's not about the cost difference or anything like that, because, to be honest with you, yellow sapphires can be just as expensive as a yellow diamond. Or you can buy either diamond or sapphire inexpensive, depending on the grade of it, obviously. So it's not about the cost, it's about the energy. And some people have a tendency to think about cost because they are exotic stones, but no, it ain't about that at all. Cost doesn't even register at this point because you know what the receptor's doing. Now, the other metal that I mentioned last week, which I hadn't touched on this week, is one of the more exotic precious metals, and that is called platinum. What we normally do, I usually make for a high energy person, I'll make a gold base receptor with a platinum bridge with diamonds on it. That seems to be the most powerful one for most people. But some people want to go, usually athletes, they want to go all the way out to platinum, which is fine. But when you deal with platinum and rhodium, and we also make projector systems out of rhodium, when you deal with these exotic high-pitched metals, what you're dealing with is an extreme frequency shift towards the adrenals. The gold is more of a balancing energy, and it's the gold. The molecular shape of a gold is more of an octahedron, whereas platinum is lending itself towards being a tetrahedron. So it's going to be a little bit more mental, and it's going to be a little bit more stimulating of the adrenals, to the point where unless you exercise or do things to your body, it will burn up your body. Platinum in the receptor shape will literally burn your body up, and that's not healthy. So when we get out in the platinum, I consider it the drug receptor, because it acts like a drug on some people. It's just too much. It overstimulates. But if you can handle it, like martial artists, NBA players, or NFL, super golf pros, these are the kinds of people that are very very athletic, usually working out on some form of workout, whether it be swinging a golf club or working out on a punching bag, at minimum of 2 to 3 hours a day. If you're not working out 2 to 3 hours a day, at least that, don't even consider a solid platinum receptor, because you will not like it. It'll make you feel very, very uncomfortable after a very short period of time. Platinum is a very powerful metal. It also is super reflective. That is a nice advantage of it. It's very good for meditation, deep meditation, if you know how to meditate. If you don't know how to meditate, if you don't know how to clear your mind and realize that the mind is the slayer of the real, then putting a platinum receptor on is mental suicide, because your brain will start running so fast in so many directions, it won't feel good at all. At least mine does, and most people that have reported. So when I speak about these things, I'm speaking either from case histories or myself. Platinum has never worked for me, and I've tried wearing them when I'd make them for people. I'd try them on for a while with different stones in them, and they never did work. And I find that with most people. I found that if you're semi-high energy like I am, and you work out maybe 1 hour a day or less, notice I say less, and I'm not proud of that. I wish I had more time to work out. I have one of these Mr. Universe bodies, but I just don't have the time for it. I'm more of a runner's type body, because I run most of the time when I do work out and lift smaller weights. But if you do have the time to do a little bit of exercise, I would recommend the Platinum Bridge. Platinum Bridge accelerates the scalar wave into its activity, and exciting, and so it does work out a little bit better. Now, the next place I want everybody to take a look at is page 111 in the book. This is a chart called, it says, there are three balance points to keep your body and energy in the proper zone. And there's the beginning chart says the electrical precursing body, with relaxation versus stress. Below it is a balance point, and in that little block, imagine a little cube of ice on a fulcrum, and that's what this picture looks like. And the fulcrum is sitting on top of a pyramid, and below that is another cube of ice, which is sitting on a fulcrum, which is sitting on the top of a pyramid. Below that is another piece of ice, which says biochemical body, and that's sitting on a little fulcrum, which is over a pyramid. So you have three pyramids and three cubes of ice, all wanting to balance one another. And if any one of the bottom cube falls, the other two are going to fall. If the top one falls, it's going to create a problem and throw the bottom one out of balance. So they're all on, it's like a triple balance system. So what we're showing here is electrical precursing body of energy, which is very real, is balancing the electrical body, which is all the electricity in the body. And and we have in the chart, we're showing high unsaturated solar energized electrons versus saturated electrons, robbing fats and poor health. So we're looking at, in the electrical body, if we don't have that properly balanced, it's not only going to cause us to be attracted to junk foods that have saturated fats and very bad amino acids, but it's also going to cause us to stay unbalanced. So it's a hard thing to break away from. And this, of course, is going to bring us down to the next thing in the bottom ice cube or chart piece, which is proper health, proper weight, poor health, and unbalanced weight of the biochemical body. So science, I think in the biochemistry field, Barry Sears was one of the first people to talk about electrical precursing energies in a biochemical manner, and he called them eicosanoids. And if you remember from the chart, the very first chart that we talked about in the book, which is on page 67, we show you that these different energies are stimulating basically the endocrine glands in the body. We go down through the carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, to the RNA, DNA, to minerals, to enzymes, to vitamins, to proteins. Proteins are combining to make peptides. Peptides are combining to make hormones. And hormones are being stored in the seven endocrine glands in the body. And there, as we discussed earlier, there are seven levels of consciousness, i.e. the will, the love, compassion, sexual energy, all those levels of consciousness, those feelings. And there's seven sets of hormones to control all of those. So we have seven sets of hormones corresponding to seven levels of consciousness sitting in seven different endocrine glands. And in order for these endocrine glands to function properly, they have to vibrate at certain frequencies, which then causes a release of the hormone into the bloodstream. And that, therefore, brings on the energy. Well, for example, if we're going to have a sexual testosterone or estrogen, right, they're composed of several different amino acids. If those amino acids aren't present in the body, then the testosterone or estrogen are not going to be present. Or if there's overabundance of certain amino acids in the body, there's going to be too much estrogen present. Usually it's estrogen, not testosterone, that's over-present. And the reason I cite that is because when there's an overabundance of estrogen in the body, male or female, it causes cancer. It's one of the symptoms of cancer because estrogen has a tendency to form protein and rather quickly, and it will do it anywhere in the body. It doesn't care where. And usually when that happens in an acid-based body, there'll be a cancer virus associated with that, or it will contact one or come in contact with them. A normally pH-balanced body will not contact cancer, but one who is high acidic can come. Everybody comes in contact with cancer during the week. You just don't know it. You either talk to somebody that's had it, somebody that has it and doesn't know they've got it, or the germ, the virus itself is just floating in the air. And or you're around carcinogens, which bring them on. So everybody is in constant contact over the period of the month of cancer virus. There's no getting around. I don't care where you are. It blows in the wind. So you could be on a desert island. Oh, have my beautiful tropical drink, my beautiful guy or gal, and beautiful waves, and here comes cancer from 2,000, 3,000 miles away. It landed in my iced tea. It happens, okay? But if your body is acidic, you won't, alkaline, you won't have a problem. Well, one of the nice things about the nuclear receptor is it keeps the body very much in the alkaline range. It keeps you way in the alkaline range because it allows your body to just become alkaline. It allows your body to produce alkalinity versus acidity with what you put in your body. So these are very important things to know. So if you're using your receptor, you're definitely putting your body pH in balance. But through the hormonal and stimulation systems, and because you're using different gemstones in the nuclear receptor, you're asking your body to go into different zones. Okay, now when your body goes into a different zone, let's say, for example, you're wearing a receptor with an amethyst in it, which is asking your body to produce more sexual energy and also more creative energy, because it is also an energy of creation. It's also an energy of balancing relationships. So if you're wearing an amethyst receptor, people that are in your life that don't belong there are going to be gone. People that should be there will appear. People that are going through a divorce almost always end up wearing the amethyst receptor. I highly recommend it because it brings things to a quick balance. And it has a lot to do with what it's doing to your body too. And usually, if you're in that situation, you're stressed out to a point, and the things are going on in your body right now, because you're going through this divorce or the separation, or even losing a boyfriend or girlfriend, it causes certain chemicals in your body to go, and the amethyst really balances the body. You'll muscle test for that right away. And by the way, if you're going through, like say, emerald change to a sapphire change, and all of a sudden you get hit from another heavy energy field, which is an auric offset feature. Some other aura hits you and it causes you suddenly to lose a loved one. Okay, let's say somebody got your wife or something happened to her. She's not coming back, an accident or something, which was not a nice thing to happen. This throws the body into a huge amount of stress. It might be time to just drop your little program of self-discipline and go right to the amethyst for calming and for dealing with the energies and the transition energies. The amethyst is the catch-all I would call it the trauma receptor. We call it the traumatic stone. You can always, once that trauma is settled down, go back into your routine. But if your routine has been overwhelmingly interrupted by a huge outside unforeseen stress, then the amethyst, you pull the diamond out, put the amethyst in it. It can be that critical. So what happens is when you look down into the body, the body wants to get back in the zone. So getting the body back into the zone is getting these precursing hormones to stimulate the hormones so the hormones go out into the bloodstream properly. And that's, of course, once again, what the nuclear receptor does. It creates a field that causes the hormone to relax. The endocrine gland to relax. And the endocrine glands, by the way, if you're going to stimulate estrogen or testosterone into the bloodstream, there's not a doorway or a big switch that opens in some kind of like a valve that people would visualize inside the organ. It's not that way at all. The organs have porous walls, and they either contract like a muscle or relax like a muscle. If they contract like a muscle, the walls become very tight, and therefore nothing can seep through them. But if the walls relax, then the walls become... The endocrine gland walls become relaxed, and the hormones kind of creep out through the cracks and go into the bloodstream. They don't go directly into it. They eventually get there. They go through whatever parts of the body are in between them and the arteries, and they finally get there. And the amount of hormones, by the way, that do arrive and do cause tremendous things to happen are measured in billions, billions. In other words, one volume of blood and one billionth of that volume of blood is a hormone, or maybe 100 millionth. It's a very small amount. So the science of endocrinology itself, which is the science that we're looking at right now for the receptor approval, for government approval ratings, it takes special equipment and special circumstances to get very accurate results, because the hormones that we're measuring and changing and detecting are so small, in such small amounts, they're barely detectable at all. So this becomes a very critical factor to understand. Now, the final area that I want to talk about in the receptor, the last 15 minutes that we've got here to discuss this, the chart for that on the Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light book is on page 141. And on page 141, it's a chapter called Cellular and Stellar. Now, notice the relationship, cellular and stellar interactivity. That's the chapter and the section of that chapter. of galactic consciousness. And when that's the final doorway to this product. When we played around with all the base, up until now we've discussed base functions, but now we're assuming that organs are being rejuvenated, colors are stabilizing, things are starting to happen, body temperatures are becoming more stabilized. A lot of things are starting to happen. So now we will look at, you know, what is happening and why it's happening. And when I give these pages out in the book, yes, I'm giving information on the radio, but there's a lot more that you can get if you go to the book after you've heard the show, maybe even go to the archives or make a copy of the archives and repeat it. Because if you listen to what I say versus what's written in here, it makes a lot more sense. The two complement each other. That's why in the new book, Inside Track, I'm going to have the pictures up on the website, so that you can go directly to the website when you want, and I can even have animations there, which will be much more graphic than what I did in this book, and yet it allows me to put a book out with no pictures at all in it, so it makes the book cheaper, less cost to produce, and it makes it go to a much wider audience, because these Rays of Truth books are $30 books, so not everybody can afford them, but if I put a well-written, lightweight tome out costing around $7 or $8, it can get out and sell to a lot more people. And that's the idea. We're trying to reach more people to give them this knowledge. But anyway, this particular page 117, or 141 rather, is entitled The Earth and Its Spheres. If you look at the Earth, we have the lowest atmosphere, which we're mostly used to. And our lower atmosphere goes up into the stratosphere, which then goes up where weather changes take place, in the upper stratosphere and lower mesosphere. The troposphere goes up 30 to 65,000 feet. That's the major shift where weather takes place. And then from there, we go on out into the different levels of the ionosphere. And I covered some of these in my earlier shows, and especially on the show on Katrina. I went through these atmospheres with great accuracy, and describe where the temperatures are, where the neutral temperatures were, it was hot, where it was cold, and I did a lot on temperature. And the other thing we need to look at is the Earth. I mean, the Earth, if it goes up 1 degree, some people say, well, that's, you know, we got the greenhouse effect, and so the temperature goes up, the global warming takes place, okay? It goes up a degree or two. Well, that doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. I'll tell you why. If you look at your body, and your body should be about 98.6 Fahrenheit degrees to have the perfect operating efficiency of all the organs in your body. The external temperature for your body, okay, it might show you the differential, in other words, the environment that you want to be, is 68 degrees. If you were to go to the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid in Egypt, and measure that, whether it's 120 degrees in the desert outside, or it's wintertime and it's down into the cool part of the Egyptian winter, which isn't that bad, but still windy and cool, the temperature inside the King's Chamber is always going to be 68 degrees. It never changes. And there's no heater in there, and there's no air conditioner. The energy of the inside of the pyramid is 68 degrees in the core of it, and the core temperature of the carbon atom is 68 degrees. Even though around that carbon atom in your body, it's hotter and colder depending on where it goes. And the average mean temperature, mean meridian temperature of the entire body is 98.6 degrees. Okay, now what does that mean? Well, that means looking at the Earth, if you change the body, first of all, let's go back and look at the body. If we change the body to 90, we go from 99, let's say we go to 99 degrees, and your body just automatically goes to 99 degrees. All of you don't feel so good, okay? Your lifespan is going to be shortened incredibly, a lot. If you go to 100 degrees and don't do something, you will die within a year. At 99 degrees, you'll probably last 6 months. Or if you lower your body temperature, the same thing will happen. You'll eventually die in a much shorter, it will chop, for a half a degree of temperature variation, will chop off decades of your life either way. And so, therefore, temperature is critical. Everything is critical in temperature, because temperature represents energy. Okay, energy is thermal units going in, energy is thermal units going out. If it's a temperature is dropping in the human body, it's losing energy. If it's raising in the body, it's gaining energy. And the cellular structure in the body has to work at a certain level. The same thing happens with the temperature of the earth. It's there. Our bodies are reproductions of the earth, and the earth is a reproduction of our body, if you understand the dynamics and physics of the two and make the proper comparisons. It's very important to understand that. If you look at the fields, the different atmospheres going all the way out from the ionosphere to the Van Allen radiation belt. If you look at the solar flares, which will, if you'll see a lot of that in the book, we'll talk about that later on. A solar flare comes out 2 or 3 million miles with a million mile an hour solar wind that hits our atmosphere, the ionosphere, the Van Allen radiation belt, producing a huge shower of sparks, which then starts to break itself down into a plasma, which comes down through the earth as what's called an auroral electrojet, which then comes down in turbulence into the tropopause in the upper stratosphere, creating hurricanes and huge winds. All of this is an outside energy radiation source affecting the earth. It affects us too. And we are actually a product of that effect in both directions. So therefore, you have an aura field. We talked about that. Your body is firing off. Your synapses are firing off at a certain rate. If you're wearing that receptor and using that receptor properly, what happens with your aura is you are stronger. You're generating an auric field that's much stronger from within than from without. Whereas if you're not doing this, if you don't have some kind of a receptor-type device in your body, what happens is, and you have a normal decaying aura, what happens is over a period of time, outside influences are starting to wreak havoc with your auric. And your aura is going to then transfer into your body, and it's going to cause havoc within your body. So you need to have a higher source of internal radiation than the external radiation. And I'm not just talking about ionized particles, beta, gamma, alpha rays. And I'm not just talking about stress coming in the form of electrical precursing. I'm talking about even a cold wind blowing or a hot sun shining on you is a form of radiation. And you can deal with higher temperatures up, colder temperatures in the wintertime, by having a constant, powerful, self-regenerating auric frequency. And therefore, when you have a positive, self-generating, dynamic auric frequency going on, because the synapses in your brain are firing off at an even order all the time, then what happens is you put a shield around you, and all of these influences coming into your aura will not influence your aura. Your aura will influence them, and that's called auric offset. And there's some other chapters and pictures in the book that I'm not going to describe now that show more of that. You'll find it when you go do your research and your homework. But auric offset means that this outside interference, disturbance, actually no longer is an interference, disturbance, but actually is helping your body. It's actually healing your body. So in that case, a second lesser thing is not created. Normally, when you don't have auric offset and you get these disturbing factors coming in, it creates a situation of free electrons in the body. In other words, what an aura is on one level, a stream of electrons going from the north pole of it in your head to the south pole, which is the base of your spine, moving out and around. And actually, it's not just a field out of the top of your head going to the base of the spine. Is an actual field that goes out of your head into your heart, back out of your heart, and into the base of your spine. So it forms more of a flower pattern than the normal pattern that we normally see in drawings about auras. It's not actually shaped that way. Part of it is, but a good part of it is not. The actual aura around the human being will look more like a rose, and you're standing in the middle of it, than an egg-shaped bunch of lines, dotted lines that are going around that it's normally depicted as. So what happens is when you have these negative things come in and you've got the receptor on, you are going to shift their frequencies and you're not going to produce these free-running electrons, which are called free radicals. So therefore, if you're not going to produce free radicals, you're not going to be affected by radiation like the average person would that's not protecting themselves. So as a result of that, you're going to feel a lot better and your body's going to behave a lot better. And the DNA is not going to have to despiral and unwind to create energy in order for the ATP molecules in your cells to try to combat Because as soon as your body has to combat something, you've already lost the battle. And what's the price of losing the battle? Loss of lifespan. Loss of lifespan is what happens. Yeah, no, it's true on a subtle day-to-day basis. If, let's say you're living near an extreme case, you're living near a nuclear reactor somewhere that has a slight leakage problem. Okay, if you have auric offset, so what? You know, your body will actually process that radiation. Let's just say it's a little bit of beta radiation, and you'll process it. It's not the best thing, but you're going to handle it. But if you're not handling that, if you don't have auric offset, that beta radiation is causing a decay in your field, and you're going to start producing free radicals. When you start producing free radicals, the first organ, instead of having the stronger production of organs that we're doing by adding the different stones, you've got the subtractive process of the aura going on, and your body's decaying, your DNA's despiraling, and the weakest link is now going to be attacked and become readily apparent in some form of debilitating or debasing disease. And so that this is dis-ease. So that's what's going to happen. So you begin to start to see the balance between the two forces, and it's amazing that a little round metal satellite dish can do all these things that you wear around your neck. But the bottom line is, you know, we created this toxic environment. Luckily, we were given these tools to work with so that these toxic environments don't kill our lifespan even more. And so more and more as time goes on, these more of these decaying fields are out there. And there's more in the heart, for example, is another one. All these fields that you hear about, it's nice to know that the nuclear receptor, and that's what it means, nuclear, you know, it's talking about nuclear forces, is doing something for us. As far as all of the things that it does, I'll never know what they all are, because it's every time whenever we make a product at Pyridyne, especially something that's given to us by ETs, I usually don't know how it's going to work. I mean, I know I'm told what it's supposed to do. I figured it out for myself what I think it's going to do. Doesn't mean it's going to do it until you actually put it on on people and send it out there and get feedback from them. In this case we've got hundreds of thousands. And that's hundreds of thousands of people that have worn receptors. That's a lot of receptors out there. And we'll have millions here soon. We're getting a lot of feedback. And at the end of the day, I'd say, in all honesty, it's about a 98% feedback positive. All kinds of things, 98%. There's probably a good, solid 2% feedback that we get, but because it's negative. But because it's negative, we don't get it on a steady basis. We'll get those negatives because it's intermittent energy. We'll get them once or twice a year. And the most common one that I've ever heard is not that they don't feel anything. They just didn't like what they felt. And that means the person is incredibly toxic that got a reaction to it. And it came out. It came out in their verbalization. The verbalization came out such that they didn't like what it was. And you can see by the tone of their voice that they got a reaction from it. They might not even be aware of it, either by the tone of the voice or the way they sent an email or a letter. And so what we ended up doing with that person is either refunding them or exchanging it for something that they can use. And out of that 2%, 1% of that 2% probably realizes there's something going on, but that is the receptor is not what they want. So what they end up doing is going to another product. Maybe they'll go to a power dome. So out of that, we probably have 1% of the people that don't want anything to do at all with anything of the receptor type energies. And I think if you look out across the world, at any company anywhere in the world making any kind of a product that has any kind of a benefit, good or bad, that's a pretty good track record. And that track record's held up now for over 30 years. So I'm pretty pleased with what the results are. And I hope that as you start wearing the nuclear receptor and start giving us feedback, that you'll tell us what you do like about it, what you don't like about it, and what you don't know about it, and then keep sending your emails. We'll continue on answering those questions, as we always have in the past. And I, to be honest with you, I have a passion for this. This is one of my favorite topics to cover, is the nuclear receptor, because I've just had such amazing times with it. Not saying that we don't have a lot of other exciting products, but I feel that having auric offset and having your aura field very high and very clear and very colorful, it allows you to enjoy not only the things that we make and the products that we make, but it also allows you to enjoy life better, to communicate with people better. And good things will happen. You even your animals and your pets will notice the energy change. And sometimes I've even had receptors put on dogs and used on racehorses and things. So this is a lot of fun. This technology is a lot of fun. We don't know much about it. There's a lot more we need to learn. We know basically that shape has energy and matter. I mean, it forms matter and matter changes. And we know that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just is. So with that, you know, show number 10 comes to an end. And maybe you never want to hear any more of our shows. Maybe you want to take your chances and hear another one. I recommend a good psychiatrist if that's the case. And until next time, God bless and have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.